Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
And she was about 45 or 50 feet in the air. She was swinging back and forth on something I learned was called a trapeze. I'll never forget, because in my mind, there was a moment where my heart was just pounding and I was thinking, what's going on? Because there was an empty swing on the other side swinging back and forth. And then somebody jumped on the other swing, and then there were people swinging back and forth, and I was trying to figure out as a little 12-year-old what was going on, because I was in a big tent and there were things happening and it was crazy. And then there was this moment when all of a sudden she let go of the one that she was swinging on and went through the air. What I didn't find myself prepared for was what was about to happen next, because the person on the other swing apparently had a glitch in their timing or something, and she missed. And there was a blood-curdling scream, and she went flying. And all of a sudden, as a little 12-year-old, I was thinking, what am I about to witness? Fortunately for her, and especially for me, there was a net underneath. And so she just bounced in the net, and turned out it was part of how they introduced the trapeze, because then they actually did the whole thing over again, and it was pretty amazing, and it was really fun. But just for a moment, they had me, and I was like, oh my gosh, what am I about to see? And I'll never forget that moment, because it was a picture that established something in my mind and in my child's experience of a value called trust. Because the second time she was swinging, she actually went and she found in the middle of the air the hands that she was looking for. And so what looked to me to be an accident was actually an introduction. And it settled my heart forever on how important trust really is. I was thinking later on how important, what in the function of trust, how important trust is, because it's the only reason she could have started on that whole journey anyway. She knew that her partner was going to be there. And she knew if the partner wasn't there, there was a net underneath. Because nobody survives a 45 or 50 foot fall onto a big concrete parking lot under a tent. I don't care how many elephants are in the circus. You just don't survive that. So trust was an important part of that experience. And so for the rest of my life, I've had an extreme value of trust. And so today I wanted to start with that, because God has the same value in his heart towards who we are when he says, I want you to trust me in something called life. We're going to start this morning with the series scriptures that we've been on, because today's part four of our Closed on Sundays sermon series. So let's start today by looking at Proverbs chapter 3. We've been looking at this every week for the last 3 or 4 weeks. And today we're going to start with the exact same scripture, because God has a message he's trying to get through to us. So if you'll put that on the screen, Proverbs 3, starting with verse 5, it starts off with the word, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your what? Own understanding. Verse 6 says, seek his will in all you do, and he'll show you which path to take. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't depend only on your own understanding. But seek his will in all you do, and he'll show you. God's message to us this morning is, listen, I know life is compelling. I know there's some thoughts in your minds that are kind of entrenched, but I want you to trust me in something. And it may feel odd for a minute. It may feel odd just for a little bit. But if you'll trust me and go my way, I'm going to show you how to live life to the full. Trust me. You know, I've never actually driven a car in England, but I understand they drive on the wrong side of the road over there. I can imagine what it would be like to actually sit on the right hand of a car and drive on the left side of the road. That would just feel awkward for a little bit. Every once in a while, I wonder if my mind kind of drifted, if I'd find myself back on the right side of the road, which would be the wrong side of the road in that kingdom. So in America, it works this way. Over there, it works that way. In other words, whatever kingdom you're in, there are rules of the road. And if you live by the rules of the road, you get the benefit of that. If you go against the rules of the road, no matter how well-intentioned you are, eventually there's a consequence for that. How many of you have seen the news clips of people driving down the highway on the wrong side of the road? It's terrifying, isn't it? Now I wonder how much of our lives that we live in our own way of thinking, and God is thinking, oh my gosh, if you only knew how catastrophic that decision is, if you only knew the damage that you're setting yourself up for with that decision, if you could only sense and see what I could sense and see, then he's going, I'm telling you, trust me, live it my way. You're gonna get what I've created you to experience, and it's the best way. Which is why in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it reads this. Jesus says in the New Kingdom, in the New Testament, he says it this way, but seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In other words, Jesus is acknowledging, we've read this scripture a few times in the series already, but he's basically saying, I know that there are things you need, but the way to get them my way is to seek my kingdom first. My kingdom, my way of living. My values, my guidelines. If you'll do it my way, you get everything that you need without the grief that goes with trying to get it the other way. So we've been working our way through this particular series, and my hope is this morning is that we'll finally get to the place where we, in our own mind and heart, yield to say, God, I know that you're giving me guidance in this particular area of my life, that I'm supposed to do things this way. My instinct is the other way, but I'm going to trust you because you're God. You know, God gets pretty detailed in areas of our lives, some really important areas of our lives. Right now, we're studying all the way through January is a series on priorities, prioritizing God's way, his kingdom, and his guidelines. Doing it his way. Why? Because he said, I'm God, I created it. If you do it my way, you get how I've created you to live. But you have to prioritize it my way. We're using the series for, the series title is called Closed on Sunday. And we're really borrowing a business value from Chick-fil-A, who closes their restaurant every Sunday. So think about this. You're in business to be in business, and businesses are in business to make money, right? The reason you open a business, generally speaking, is to provide a flow of revenue into your life. Well, that's no different than Chick-fil-A, and yet they've closed their business every Sunday. You know where they get that value? Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 includes a span of that chapter is the Ten Commandments. And in the Ten Commandments, commandment number 4 is remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. So there is the business owner who started that whole chain of restaurants said, I'm going to start a business to be in business, but I'm going to do it God's way, which means I'm going to close my restaurant 15% of the working week. I'm going to close my restaurant on prime time when lots of families are available to do what restaurants would be in business to do, which is eat. And yet that restaurant chain is the third largest one in our nation. You know why? I believe in large part it's because the owner said, I'm going to do it God's way. Imagine what would happen if we actually kept the Sabbath holy and said, there's a day a week I'm going to carve out, and it's going to be God. It's going to be my connection with you in that worshiped context where I'm going to set myself in your presence with the family of God, and I'm going to cool my jets. I'm going to recuperate. I'm going to refresh myself in who you are. Imagine that. And congratulations, all of you are here today doing that very thing. So you get an A for today. But my point is, imagine what would happen in life if we really did let God's way become the way we choose to live. Another big area of our life, in addition to time, is money. God's very clear about this. He said, I'm going to provide everything you need. And a portion of what comes into your hand, I'm telling you in advance, a portion of everything that comes into your hand is mine. This is Malachi 3. The whole section of that is verses 8 through 12. But he's basically saying, I'm going to provide everything you need, and a portion of everything that comes into your hand is already mine, Leviticus 27:30. and it's mine, and I'm going to put it into your hands so that you return it back to me, because in a way that's going to be hard for you to understand, when your revenue comes my way, your heart comes with it. The Bible gives us the picture that where our treasure is, there our heart is also. God says, here's how you steer your heart. You aim your heart with your money. So I'm going to put a portion of the money that comes into your hands, I'm going to put it in your hands. It's mine. I want you to return it to me. And when you do, it aligns your hearts with me. And then he goes on to say, and then I'm going to cause the portion that's left in your hand to manage and steward well. I'm going to cause it to actually be blessed, to be multiplied, and to go further than what it would have been if you'd have actually just tried to spend all of it yourself. So he said, things like your time, things like your money. He said, here, I'm going to give you some guidelines on what to do with all of those things. Why? So you live in the flow of who I've created you to be in relationship with me. So God is up to something. But almost every time when we think, okay, God, what do you want me to do with this situation? His instruction seems like it's exactly backwards from what we think we ought or want to do. What do we do instinctively when somebody hurts us? Hurt them back. With interest. I'll show you. Oh, yeah? I'll get you. You don't know when it's going to happen. I'm going to wait for 13 months, but I'm going to get you back. You may not say it exactly that way, but what does Jesus say about offenses? Forgive. Do you know, Jesus said, here's what I want you to do. If you're at the place of worship and you remember that there's somebody who's offended with you, leave your worship, your sacrifice, leave it right there. You go fix it first. Then come back and do this. It seems backwards. Why would God say that when really we just need healing? We want to be relieved of that pain. We want to be healed from that pain. And God says, I'm going to show you how to do it, but it's not going to be what you think. It's going to be my way. But if you'll go my way, you'll get my results. Which is why Jesus said when he taught us how to pray, pray this way, your kingdom come, your will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is telling us in the method of teaching us how to pray, there are two different types of life you can live. You can live the earth's natural kingdoms, or you can live in the kingdom of God. You get to choose. So as we're wrapping up our series this morning on Closed on Sunday, my hope is that we'll have had the opportunity through the weeks of January to really center our new season, our new year, our new decade. We're centering that whole approach to how am I going to live in this decade on Proverbs 3, which says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Why? Because our mindsets are framed initially by values we see in the cultures we're raised in. God says, I'm going to show you by my scripture, by the work of my Holy Spirit, I'm going to teach you how to live in my kingdom. So as we've been working our way through this particular series, this morning I wanted to focus on an element of life that is profoundly important, but we instinctively approach this one backwards too. Congratulations, we're pretty consistent. I wanna talk to you, we've talked a moment ago about prioritizing time, keeping the Sabbath holy. We talked about how God's approach to money is backwards than the way we would naturally think. I can't tell how many business owners in our church talk to me about the fact that their accountant says, I don't understand how your business works and yet it keeps flourishing. And their answer back to their accountant is, I tithe unto the Lord. And they're like, the math doesn't work, but your business is flourishing. How come it's making, and they just say, it's the kingdom of God. Time, money, relationships. Relationships. Another way that we tend to approach relationships is, I'm drawn to people that make me feel better about myself. or that seem to be doing what I want to do. So what I want to do this morning is spend a few minutes about how God frames the context of relationships. So the first we're going to look at is how important are relationships. Well, very, very beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. If you're taking notes, write this down. We see this scripture says in the New International Version, the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now typically, stereotypically, I should say, when this scripture is read, all the women go, "Well, of course, men can't do anything by themselves." And ladies, we all know, you know, we put on as if, you know, we're able to do it ourselves. But the truth is, whether we want to admit it or not, we need you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we definitely do. Men ever have a baby? Nope. There are just dynamics of who you are complementing a relationship that God created you to be to us, that we recognize our need for you. But what's interesting about this particular passage of scripture is this: God actually said that this is not good, and sin had not entered the picture yet. I don't know if you've ever connected that dot yet, but he said, here's something I've created. This is good, this is good, this is good. This is not good like this. In other words, this is not complete yet. The picture isn't right. Why? Because the human man was alone. And so he said, I'm going to actually create a helpmeet that's suitable for him. So the scripture goes on to talk about how he put Adam in a deep sleep and took a rib, and he created Eve and then brought them together and said, now this is good. Now this is good. So relationships are incredibly important, but the way we instinctively approach relationships tends to be different than how God, I believe, designed them to work. So let me give you a couple of thoughts to share, and then we're going to shift gears and get pretty practical. Most people, as I said earlier, choose relationships that make them feel good or make them feel comfortable. So if you're taking notes, I'd like to ask you to write that down. Most people choose relationships that make them feel good or make them feel comfortable. Make them feel good or feel comfortable. And in the natural, it's like, well, yeah, of course. I feel like I can be myself around this person. I feel like I can just do my thing around this person. But I want to amplify this picture a little bit for us this morning so we can see how God designed relationships to actually work when we proactively align our lives with people God puts in our path for his purpose and plans. Here's what I mean. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says it this way: the person that walks or does life with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. I don't know if you've thought like this yet in a contemplative way, but think about what God is telling us in this moment. God is saying, if you choose to do life with people who are wise, and the context of the wise are the context of the godly. So if you choose to do life with people who are growing in godliness, who are the wise, then you'll grow wise. But a companion of fools suffers what? Harm. I want to just talk for a moment about the context of the word fool, because the word fool often has a kind of a psychological concussion element to it, where it's like, ah. And we tend to throw that word around as a way to cause people to feel frustrated or pushed back or something. You know, that guy's just a fool. And you can just tell by the way people throw the word fool around. Fool. It's just like, nobody says fools. It comes up, fool. But think about this for a moment. A fool is a person who is acting under the power of deception. It's a person who has been fooled by something. Does that make sense? So in a way, while we understand I don't necessarily want to pattern my life after you, there's an element of compassion I may have about a fool because I realize you're under the power of deception and you're actually heading into destruction, and I have compassion for where you're going because you've been fooled about something. I often think of a young man in the journey of our ministry life together. My wife, Pastor Cherie, is over in Kids Big this morning, and she's leading the first through fourth graders. And so, but for a season in Dallas, we worked together at a church. It's a large church, and we were associate pastors there. And one of our primary responsibilities is we were the music pastors. And so in that era, I ran all the bands, and I'm a rhythm keyboard player, and I love music and jazz and just all of it. And so when I'm by myself and I'm doing stuff that I enjoy doing myself, often there's either a book being read, an audible book being read, or music being played. So those are the two things I really enjoy. But in that season, there was a man who was in our band, and I'll never forget a comment that he said to me, because I knew that he was he had suffered the trauma and the tragedy of a wife who left him, and he was living out the terror of living alone. And so I felt compassion for him because he was living that context of, I didn't want this, here it is, and now I'm alone and my heart is broken. And so we're walking through life together, and I'm just trying to be a strength to him. And one day he says, Pastor Dave, I think I found her. I said, what do you mean? Well, I first met her on a Russian dating website. She's here now. I was like, well, it's not that God couldn't do that. Tell me more. Well, I know this is a match made in heaven. I said, how do you know? He said, well, we went on our first date the other night. We actually, and we got tender ears in here, but we experienced all that life has together. You can kind of fill in the blanks. I don't want to mess up with tender ears. But we kind of figured out each other, and we're a perfect match. It's just a match made in heaven. And I was like, I wanted to say, you fool. But I didn't quite say it that way. I did try to explain to him that that's not God's approach to evaluating things like that. In fact, he's very clear about where those expressions of intimacy actually fit. It's in the context of marriage covenant between a husband and a wife, and it goes in that spot, and before there, it's really devastating to every other element of life. And so I tried to explain that to him, and he's basically looked at me like, what do you know? You're a pastor. He didn't say that with his mouth, but he said it with everything else. You know, pastors can't control anything. They can just tell people, hey, this is what God says about that particular aspect of life, and here's the guidance that God gives us in that aspect of life. And so I remember giving him very clear direction. If you go down this path with that mindset, you're on your way to certain destruction. And he looked at me with incredulity in his eyes, and as if I was speaking Venusian or something. And I, at that point, I was like, I'm out of words. So he did. He ended up marrying this lady, and he seemed happy for a month. Then I had the next conversation that had all the tears. And in that moment, I had the compassion that says, you've been fooled. And somehow he had chosen to associate himself with people who basically reassured him, this is okay. But that scripture says, he who walks or does life with the wise grows wise, but a companion, everyone say companion. Companion means I don't just associate with you at work because I have to, we're on the same team and I've got to deal with your dynamics. It's I choose to be with you and we share values together. companion. A companion of fools suffers harm. Let me take one more pass at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says it this way. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Now, I love that. It's a very simple, very short sentence, very direct, very blunt. It's hard to misinterpret that one. Don't be misled. Whenever we see imperative sentences like that, we know that that means it's highly probable you could be misled about this. So I'm telling you, don't. Why? Because if you're not intentional not to be misled, you'll probably be misled. So don't be misled. Actively work to keep from being misled. How? Anchor yourself with truth. Make sure you're reading the scripture, making your big life decisions based on what God's saying about how life's supposed to be lived. He says, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Now, I have to admit, sometimes when I see stuff like this, I get pictures in my mind. And there was a cartoon when I was in my junior high and high school season. Does anybody in here remember Spy versus Spy? Like, you have to be 100 years old to get that one. Okay. And it was this slinky cartoon, and this is always one guy trying to get the other guy to do the wrong thing. And the one that's forever in my mind, and it's real obvious stuff, but he's got this bottle, and it's got the skull and crossbones on it, and it basically is him trying to get the other guy to do drugs. And it just simply says, take drugs. So I'm not saying that bad company is necessarily a drug addict. I'm not saying bad company is necessarily a criminal, although most likely criminal in intent as a chosen lifestyle probably might indicate it could be possible that just maybe that's a bad company kind of person. Maybe. I don't want to offend anybody in here. I'm just kidding. The point is, what is bad company? Is that an ooh, scary person? He wears an eye patch and he's got a long beard and he talks like a pirate. Bad company. No. Bad company basically means a person who has chosen not to live their lives toward the kingdom of God or in the kingdom of God. They're intentionally living based on other values. So they may be the sweetest person ever. Really nice, very kind. But if they're not intentionally growing towards or in or moving in God's kingdom or towards God's kingdom, the net result will be the values that they have in them is going to rub off on you. And eventually, if you have companionship with bad company, eventually it affects the way that you frame your values and thoughts and decisions as well. Does that make sense? So sometimes it really pays off to slow down and think, just who am I associating with in life? Now, the good news is Jesus modeled the intentionality of reaching people who were far away from God's kingdom. So he left God's kingdom to move to earth to actually get in the middle of life's muck. And he's basically said, this is the life I want you to live. I don't want you to run from everybody who's bad company. I just want you to make sure that you're not choosing to associate in the context of that company. That's not your crowd. You reach that crowd. You can move them towards God's kingdom. Did y'all follow what I'm saying? So Jesus did not say avoid them. He's just saying, make sure that when you're thinking keep company, that you choose the company you keep whose lives are based in God's wisdom. Why? Because eventually God wants us to know that rubs off. That rubs off. So let me just bring a practical pastoral context to this, and then let me give you some pointers. There are parts of your life that you don't have a whole lot of choice over. In other words, maybe your spouse, maybe your parents, maybe your uncle that you have to live with, or maybe your boss, or maybe your teachers, or maybe your coach, or I'm just saying that there likely are elements of your life and day that you can't just say, I choose not to be around you, just because the way life works puts you there. That makes sense? What I am not saying is run away from all of that. What I am specifically saying is the parts of life you can choose your relationships, choose with these values. Why? Because if we do with what we have access to, God begins to honor that. And eventually, our circle of influence begins to grow. Does that make sense? So I am specifically not giving you permission to go home and divorce your husband. Just because you think he's the devil. I'm just trying to make people laugh just for a minute because y'all evaporated. I don't know where you went, but about 3 minutes ago, you left the building. So let me bring you back. Practically speaking, I want you to know God is saying, choose your relationships carefully. Why? Because those you choose to associate with will affect your life. Here's a practical way to write this down. Jot this in your spiritual journals. My friendships help determine my future. My friendships help determine my future. So, is this good news or bad news? Well, it could be good or it could be bad. It depends on the friends you choose. So my point today in all of this, as we're looking at the values of prioritizing God and his kingdom, is we're saying, look, God has given us clear directives when it comes to the way dynamics and friendships and relationships work. Number one, you can't be alone. God created us to live in the context of community. It's his nature. Two, relationship has a profound shaping influence on the way you'll ultimately live your life. So three, choose your friends or your relationships or the company that you keep with this value in mind. Are they going God's way, and will the sway they have over your life pull you towards God or away from God? And that's a pretty easy fill in the blank. Is time with this person going to pull me towards God and his kingdom and his ways? Or is time spent with that person going to pull me and tempt me to move away from God and his ways? And what I'm practically saying from a life value as a pastor who's been in this flow of serving humanity for over 3 decades is I found that God's really right. This is how it actually works. You know, if I could pass on to you 30 years of ministry experience in one simple concept when it comes to this issue, I would say, choose your friends wisely. Why? Because they're either going to pull you towards God or away from God. And the areas of life you can't choose, you pray for. The areas of life you can choose, choose well. Why? Because over time, those relationships will pull you one way or the other. So God's saying this, when it comes to time, manage it, steward it, Sabbath. Why? I built you that way. When it comes with money, a tenth of it goes into the house of God. Why? Because when you put your treasure somewhere, your heart goes with it. I want your heart in my kingdom. When it comes to your friends, fill in the blank. Choose your friends based on, is association with this crowd or this person gonna move me toward God and his kingdom or away from God and his kingdom? And over time, a prioritized decision that way will have a cumulative effect on wisdom in your life. Fair enough? Now, practically speaking, at LifeLink, we specifically do two things that really help in this particular area. So LifeLink is very purpose-driven in the way we operate. We're here to link people and God together for life. We want you to know that God loves you, just like you are. He can't wait to start new seasons of life with you. He's got great things he wants to do in and for you. It's just the way he is. He can't help himself. That's just the way he sees you. He's not repulsed by you. He wants you. You are highly desirable to God. He wants to go ahead and let you choose his company. Why? Because he knows the very things we've been talking about today is exactly how he works. He can lift you up to things you can't imagine. It's the way he is. So that's what LifeLink is here to do. We want to link people and God together relationally for life. One of the things we do is we help facilitate that by a worship environment where people can find, feel, and follow God. But the next thing we do is we help people make practical connections. Once you feel like, hey, this is something I can sense God doing something in my life, and for a season I feel like he wants me to be here and whatnot, we can say, listen, we'll show you how it works. And so we offer something called Growth Track, which we do every service, and every Sunday is a different step in the way. There's four of them all together, and one is designed to help you know, have you said yes to Jesus to make a difference in your life? Number two is, here's what the LifeLink family is all about, and here's exactly what we're committed to do. We want to make a measurable and practical difference in your life. The third step is, we would love to help connect you with people who are shaped similar to you, who are going God's way. We call that the dream team. So one of the reasons why we highlight the dream team is not just because it takes 100 people or more to facilitate a weekend worship service at LifeLink. And it does. It takes 100 people or more to do that. But that's not why the primary reason we actually say dream team, dream team, dream team is so important. Because we know what God's word says about this. If you can connect with people who are shaped similar to you, who are actually in the context of serving in God's kingdom for those big high level values that are similar to that, we know that associating with people like that are gonna draw you into what God's got for you. So we say, be intentional with that. But the fourth area of LifeLink's functional way we commit to serve people is through something called life groups. And that's really what today is primarily about. The practical application today is that you would make a big decision that this semester, in addition to what you're doing with Dream Team, that you'll say, God, which life group am I supposed to be in so that I connect with people going your way in this season? And we learn together, we grow together, we challenge one another. We know each other, we love each other, we challenge each other, we're growing together. And I know the people in that group and the leaders of that group are going your way. And we're not just trying to busy your life up. What we're trying to do is give you ways you can find people who are going God's way in the season of life similar to yours. So this morning, as we begin to wrap this up, let me just focus on our life groups. If you will, there's a text number. Pastor Lacey mentioned it in the middle of the journey, but I want you to actually write this down too, because if you text life groups to this phone number, it actually takes you to the search metric, the search engine of our website where all these groups are displayed. And in just a moment, I'm gonna try to actually dismiss you a few minutes early so you'll have time to gather around and connect with some of the life group leaders for the spring semester, and you can talk and ask questions and let them give you some perspective of what that particular group's gonna be about. That big display in the lobby, there are tables all the way around it, and there are people that are there to facilitate your questions. And if the person you start talking to doesn't know the details of that group you're asking about, they can find the person who does. And so I want to make sure that we are practically doing this. And my hope is you won't just rush on by, but you'll stop and talk and connect with people. Why? Because today, our topic is not just a topic of, take it or leave it. God says, this is how life works. I want you to be intentional with it. Let me draw your attention to a few things that we are doing that's unique to this spring semester. Some things we're starting. The menu is full of great possibilities for you. But there are a couple of features that I want to draw to your attention because these are unique to this particular season and this semester. One is a combined function we're doing on Wednesday nights here at the campus. And so you'll see that in addition to students and our high school and junior high meet on 7 at, Pastor Chris, is that correct? Is it 7 or 6:30? 7 o'clock. So they meet here on the campus, and their midweek connection is here every Wednesday. And we know that a lot of parents end up dropping their kids off and trying to figure out, what do I do for an hour and a half while my students are there. And so one of the things we did is we actually parked a life group called Marriage on the Rock. Not rocks. Rock. So marriage built on the rock, the foundation of Christ and his truth. So we're going to be doing that here in the auditorium during that time. And you may be thinking, well, I've got a fourth grader, or a fifth grader, or a sixth grader. I'm not sure what do I do with them. We're also doing something new this semester for first through fourth grade boys called Royal Rangers. Very excited about that. It's a program designed to take young men who are first through sixth, is it sixth grade? First through sixth grade, and put them together with men who've actually been through the earlier parts of life and actually get their hands kind of working together on projects and as they do things. It's similar in a way to Boy Scouts, but it's not really Boy Scouts, it's something different. But some of those practical life experiences designed to put mentor guys with those young men and really inspire them with some practical stuff. They're gonna have a lot of fun. They're gonna chop stuff up and tie stuff up in knots, burn things, it's awesome. At the same time, that's here at the campus at 7 on Wednesdays as well. So if you have a first through sixth grade boy, I want to encourage you to think about that. We're also doing a girls club for first through sixth grade girls. They won't tie together things or burn stuff, explode stuff. They'll be doing some other stuff. Pastor Shree's working with that group as well. So I want to encourage you to do that. So Marriage on the Rock, Royal Rangers, and Girls Club will be here at the campus at 7. I also want to let you know that we're offering a class. It's not specifically a life group, but it actually fits this model. Dr. Andy Jackson is doing a class on Tuesday nights. Everyone say Tuesday. So Tuesday nights, there's a class called Biblical Jesus, a study of a chronological harmony of the Gospels. It's really going to be good. He's a brilliant teacher. So if that's an interest to you, that is there as well. But the reality is we've got several groups you might recognize that we've did a whole semester together in the fall called SOAP, S-O-A-P. That doesn't mean here's the instructions on how to take a shower and wash your hands. It's really about how to approach meeting God relationally in his Bible every day. So we've got several groups that are designed to help people grow in that powerful discipline. We've got all kinds of women's events and men's groups and co-ed groups, and just it's going to be a great semester. But I'm not trying to just get you into a group. I want you to see how God designed those relational pockets to work, because you're probably going to meet somebody in there that's similar to the season you're in, going the direction you're in, and God's going to start a friendship that will become a real place of transformation for you. So my hope is you'd be willing to do that. So practically speaking, on your way out today, I'm going to encourage you to stop at that big display. Make sure that you have a chance to talk to the people that are there. They can help you get connected with the group leaders, get information, those kinds of things. And again, the intent behind it's not just to busy you up this spring, but it's to help you actually fulfill and discover the very thing that we've been listening to God talk to us about today in his Bible, about how friendships and relationships work. Did you guys get something out of this morning? Yes. All right, God is good, yes or no? All the time. Let me pray for you.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.